This happens quite a few times, and it happened again this time. I thought I had my sermon kind of worked out in my head, and I only needed to put it down on Friday. And then I got into an amazing conversation Friday night by texting with some really good brothers in Christ. And during that exchange, one of them referred to his five children as being his peculiar flock, which kind of confused me there for a bit, his peculiar flock. But he quickly clarified himself, okay? Now, these are people who know their Bible, okay? So he then immediately clarified that he meant peculiar the way St. Peter used the word peculiar in his first letter, chapter 2, verse 9. And then he quoted that verse in the King James Version, which is the one that he was basically using. So in the King James Version, verse 9 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So there's that word peculiar in that verse in the King James Version. A peculiar people. So he called his children peculiar, his peculiar flock. Got a kick out of that. But I like this word peculiar, and I have heard the word peculiar quoted in the Bible before, especially in that verse from Peter. Because many times I feel peculiar. Do you feel peculiar? Do you feel peculiar when you hear a verse like that? A peculiar people. Are we a peculiar people? "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." I knew there and then that I was going to throw out whatever I was going to do for my sermon. I was going to concentrate on this verse that came up in this conversation by texting. A lot of good things happen through texting when you're serious. So I knew there and then that I had to do something with this chapter 2, verse 9 of 1 Peter. But obviously peculiar in 1611, which is the year when the King James Version was drawn up, 400 years ago. English language has changed. And today we're even doing worse damage to the English language by changing it in very peculiar ways, but in the bad sense of peculiar. But obviously peculiar in 1611 meant something different than peculiar today. A modern English translation, the English Standard Version, puts that verse like this: "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." A people for his own possession. So of course, when I see different translations like that, I have to go to the original. I have to go to the original language, in this case, the original is in the Greek. The entire New Testament was written in the Greek. So I had to go to the Greek original, which is not modern Greek. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "Emis de genos eklekton, vasilion ieratevma, ethnos agion, laos is peripisin." Wow, it's peripisim. We use that word in modern Greek. It sort of, when you're taking care of your home, the peripise, you know, and you manage things well, the peripise, you know, peripisis is something good about taking care of things, putting them in their places, and so on and so on. So I had to look it up in the lexicon of ancient Greek. And in the original language, not modern Greek, peripisis means something that is acquired, a possession, a property, but also with a sense of security, keeping safe, preserving. And the more I thought about it, I sort of put my own definition in there. So for me, I see it as God's special protected creation. Because peripisis, two words coming together in the Greek, peri means to encircle. It's a preposition that you use to denote when you're encircling something. Pisis refers to something that is made. Pio in ancient Greek, I make. Episen, ο Θεός επίσεν την γη και τον ουρανόν. So peri pisis, yeah, yes, a protected creation, a protected possession of God. That's who Peter is writing to. You are a protected possession of God. His creation, his peripisis. And the more I thought about this verse, the more I knew that this verse in 1 Peter that my friend shared in a text message by calling his children peculiar is the key to understanding today's gospel reading. But there's more. Because if you go then to 1 Peter chapter 2, you read some more in there. And the some more sounds like this. Come to him, to that living stone, rejected by men, but in God's sight chosen and precious. And like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood. And he's not referring to my priesthood. He's talking to you about your priesthood, the royal priesthood. To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You see, Peter was talking about you and me, about all of us. We are the vineyard in today's parable. If we come to Christ the way St. Peter says, if we come to Christ, the living stone, where he is the cornerstone of what God is building, and do not reject him, as the tenants in today's parable rejected him, as he is rejected today, even more, much more than he was rejected 2,000 years ago. Don't you dare accuse the Jews of anything, because we are rejecting him. Our society is crucifying him every day. But listen to more of Peter. Listen to more of Peter. This is amazing. And if I'm boring you, sorry, too bad. But listen to Peter again. To you, therefore, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. And that's exactly the same words that Jesus quoted in the parable that you just heard. So I said to myself, gee, I guess I got it all right here by going back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, because chapter 2 of First Peter even quotes the same words from Psalm 118 that Jesus himself quoted at the end of today's parable. Do you see how the Bible hangs together? And those people who want to destroy the Bible by separating it and saying this belongs here, that belongs there, that's not there, but it's all one author. Because the real author of the Bible is not Matthew, Luke, and John, and Isaiah, and Moses, and all these people. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God himself who gave us. That's why we call it the Word of God. So putting it together, the vineyard in today's gospel, in the parable, is the peculiar people of God, the special protected creation of God. And if you look at the words that Matthew used in the parable today, they are all verbs of manual labor. Οικοδεσπότης εφύτευσεν, he planted, αμπελώνα, και φραγμόν αυτών περιέθηκεν, and set a hedge around it, and dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. This is not a coincidence, because this is a perfect illustration of what the lexicon says about the word peripisis. You see here, planted and dug, the act of creation, and then set a hedge around it and a tower. That's the protection, the security. This is why I love the Bible. This is why I love it. This is why I read it. And I will die honoring the Bible. The Jews were chosen by God to be his own peculiar people, his own special protection, his own special creation, his own peripisis. And you know what? Unlike many of us, they knew it. They knew it and they sang it. So in Psalm 119, verse 81, the Jew says, "My soul languishes for your salvation. I hope in your word." That's a song of the heart, song of longing. And in Psalm 84, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praises. Blessed are those who also come here today to sing the praises of God, who long, who faint for the courts of the Lord. Even the sparrow and the swallow find a place in the altars of the Lord," not necessarily the altar inside the temple, but wherever God is present is an altar of God. St. John Chrysostom used to say to the people that he preached to, he said, "There's a more important altar than the one inside the church. The more important altar are those poor people on the steps of the church outside who are begging for your kindness." That's Saint John Chrysostom, whose liturgy we do here every Sunday. Only peculiar people sing like those psalms. Long for the courts, faint for the courts of the Lord. St. Augustine, I looked up St. Augustine's commentary on that psalm that I quoted, and he said it very beautifully. Who speaks of such desire? Who talks like that? Who talks like that? The chosen race, obviously. The royal priesthood, the holy nation, the peculiar people of God. From the dawn of humanity until the end of this world, in all who at any time have lived, are alive now, or will live, this people longs for Christ. The longing of these saints was never appeased, nor is it appeased even now in Christ's body, the church, nor will it be until the end of the world. We are always going to be longing. Until, as God promised through a prophet, he shall come whom all nations desire. The early ages of the church, now he's writing in the 4th century, it is the early ages of the church, but he's going even earlier. The early ages of the church, before the virgin's childbearing, had their saints, men and women who longed for his coming in the flesh. These later ages, since his ascension into heaven, likewise have their saints who long for his manifestation as judge of the living and the dead. Never has there been any diminishment of this longing from the first, nor will there be until the end of the age. We are therefore, still Augustine, we are therefore fully justified in hearing the voice of Christ's entire body, the body of Christ, the church, groaning in this life. When the psalm says, my soul languishes for your salvation and for your word, I have hoped. God's word is his promise. This hope strengthens the church to wait patiently for what it believes but does not see as yet. In this verse, the Greek, meaning the Greek version of Psalm, has the compound verb epilpisa, hoped above measure, super hoped, because we cannot doubt that what is to come is greater than can be expressed. Indeed, 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 dear friends here today, people of God, what we hope for is much, much greater than what we can express in our words or in our images. In Psalm 84, even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest to lay her young at the altars of God. Are you less than the sparrow or the swallow? All creation longs for the altars of the Lord. And what we take for granted here in a church, all creation longs to be part of this offering. The Orthodox tradition has an amazing cosmic aspect to it, which I'll save for another day. But if all creation longs, sparrow and the swallow, how can we humans settle for anything less? Psalm 27 says it beautifully. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Great stuff. Great stuff. And Paul knew it. Paul had that longing. And the people he wrote to had that longing. The people that I texted with have that longing. I have that longing. Listen to St. Paul today when he mentions some peculiar people in today's reading from Corinthians that was read by Anthony. The household of Stephanas, Fortunatus and Achaicus, Aquila and Prissa, together with the church in their house. Those were the early years of Christianity. There were no churches. Every house became a church. Every house became an altar where humans, together with swallows and sparrows, could lay their offerings before God. Homes were the vineyards that God planted and entrusted to people like Stephanas and Aquila and Priscilla. This church is a vineyard let out. We are tenants let out to us to take care and present back to the Lord, pure and undefiled. And finally, I close with the same words that Paul closed his reading today. All the brethren send greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be anathema. Our Lord come, Maranatha. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Likewise, my love to you. As we wait with longing and we languish with anticipation for the coming of the Lord, may his day come soon. Maranatha. God bless you.